This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Private Equity Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant leader, Barry Tanner. Barry's had involvement with private equity as an investor in private equity funds, as an CEO of a company that private equity is invested with, and as a board member for private equity-sponsored companies, and just a great leader. Barry, we'll talk to you about all that this morning. Can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Scott, for the intro, and it's a pleasure to be here. So I have Barry Tanner, and I am currently the non-executive chairman of Physicians Endoscopy. Prior to that, I served as chief executive officer of Physicians Endoscopy for about 21 years, I think, sort of growing it from basically a startup to something much larger. And I think what might be interesting to people who are listening is that from the very beginning of Physicians Endoscopy back in 1998, it was really private equity backed, and it's changed hands from a private equity standpoint currently five times, probably will move on to a sixth. So I've enjoyed my experiences with private equity and look forward to discussing it further.
Well, thank you. And you're really about the only CEO that I know that worked through five or six different funds without really a bad experience amongst all of those. And it's really an amazing run. Let me ask you a few different sort of points of views and perspectives. First, Barry, you've had a chance to have private equity invested in the firms that you've operated. Talk for a moment about your experience as a leader with different private equity funds and different approaches they took towards their investment and towards your cooperation with yourself as CEO.
So I think what I would say is that as our company grew from really almost a startup, not quite, but almost a startup, to a much more substantial company, in my experience, we moved from the smaller private equity funds each time to a larger private equity fund. And what I've noticed over that 20 plus years is that, first of all, there are a lot of similarities in how private equity goes about investing. So they have different niches, of course, that they focus on, different expertise and the leadership of the funds. But basically, they look for an area that has significant opportunity for growth. They try to understand what the risks and opportunities are associated with that segment, whatever it may be that they're looking at, in my case, healthcare. But then they also, especially when the funds are smaller, focus extensively on the management team and the leadership, because I think the smaller funds, first of all, they're more limited in terms of resources, people resources, to be able to help. But second of all, when a company is in its sort of formative or early growth stages, I think they are much more dependent upon that leadership team and that vision and that energy that comes along with it. And they realize that the success of their investment is really going to depend upon that leadership team. As the companies grow, and I think the funds get slightly larger, there's the focus on the leadership team is still incredibly intense, but I think the ability of the funds and the people at those funds to mentor people along becomes even more significant. Different challenges at the company, hiring, the right expertise becomes a bigger issue in the sort of the high growth or later stages. And so what I've seen is that different funds and different sizes of funds take on different levels, I guess you would say, of their ability to select the right management team, then to mentor that management team, and then to, in other ways, impact the final growth of that company. Because in each case, the investing team, the private equity group, wants to, of course, get a 2x return on their investment or a 3x return or whatever it is. So their targets are very similar, but the way they go about it can vary from can vary a lot, and it certainly starts with size.
And let me ask you a question about that. Hands-on approach, is there a distinction in how hands-on the private equity fund is? Or does that just depend on how the company's doing, or is there a different flavor based on which fund?
I think there is actually a different flavor. I think the smaller, earlier stage private equity funds tend to, in my experience at least, tend to have people who are more roll up their sleeves, they're more mentoring. Not necessarily, they don't hold the vision or necessarily the energy of the company, but they're more of a partner in the leadership team to be able to advance the ball. And as the funds get larger and much more diverse and many more dollars, of course, invested, I think that partnering becomes a little less, and it becomes more of a supervisory perhaps or oversight role, as opposed to roll up your sleeves and really partner with the leadership team. So I see that, in my experience at least, fairly dramatically.
And some people criticize private equity as being just financial engineers, that they're not really value-additive business, but they're just financial engineers. Can you contrast that with some of your experiences?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think they all are very skilled at financial engineering. But my experience with, I think I want to say all of the private equity funds that I've been involved with, although to varying degrees, they all add significant value in sometimes in different ways. Earlier stage, in my experience, they were really a great sounding board. When you're a small company, a fairly small team, the value add for me that sticks in my mind was that I had a regularly scheduled call with our private equity group every Friday, and we would spend 30 minutes to an hour on the phone. It was an opportunity for me to use them as a sounding board for whatever it was that I might be interested in. So if I had an idea, I wanted to go down this path or that path, or I wanted to, you know, consider this investment, it was an opportunity for me to say, let me tell you what I want to do, and then get them to react and tell me why it was right or why it was wrong. And so to me, that was an extraordinary value add, because without them, I wouldn't necessarily have had access to that. Later on, it became more they were the sort of maybe functioning as the, not the CFO, but certainly like a financial strategic advisor, very similar to what I was describing in early stage, but in a much more high level and much more sophisticated fashion. So I think that just their ideas, their ability to encourage me to maybe hire expertise when my conservatism might have said, you know, don't take the chance, just continue on, go slow. I think their ability to do that mentoring and to say, you know, look, you've got to position this company for a doubling or tripling in size. And you know, when the next private equity buyer comes calling to look at this organization, you have to be able to demonstrate to them that you not only know how to grow the company, but you've got a lot of the pieces in place to actually capitalize on that opportunity for growth.
When people originally think of private equity and the principals and the leaders of private equity, at least they traditionally thought of, you know, New York, sharp elbows, hard edges, stuff like that. Has that been your experience with private equity, or is it much different today than it was thought of, you know, 10, 15 years ago?
You know, Scott, this is a great question. My experience has certainly not been that, although, you know, I can say that in the several times that we've changed hands, we've gone through and interviewed a lot of different firms, and I think I could say that I see elements of that. I can see where that kind of reputation may originate from. It hasn't been my experience, but I've also been very fortunate to be able to, you know, I always selected people, investors, if you will, private equity funds, who I just got to a point after many, many meetings that I felt comfortable with. People that I felt, you know, not only do I like these people, I can sort of, I believe they'd bring a lot to the table. I believe I would enjoy working with them. And I think that was really my criteria, and probably through more luck than skill, it's actually worked out that way. So, but I can see it in certainly some of the people that I've interacted with over the years, but not, it certainly hasn't been my experience.
No, fascinating. You've also had a chance to sit on the other side of the table as an investor in private equity funds. And what's that like? How has that gone? What's some of your experience there?
Yeah, and I, you know, it's funny. I've really, really enjoyed it, I have to say. I think, you know, back to what we were talking about earlier, my willingness to be an investor in private equity, first of all, I'm fortunate to have those opportunities, and it's really because of my involvement with them over the years and their investment in my company that's allowed it. But I think I've chosen to invest with people much the same way that that private equity probably chooses what companies to invest in, and that is, I mentioned early on, their selection, their focus on the management team and their ability to carry the company forward. And that's been my criteria, really, for investing with private equity. There's some funds that I've invested repeatedly with over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years. And I've done that because, number one, I like the people. I sort of know what they're capable of. I know how they can mentor, you know, leadership teams to achieve perhaps more than they otherwise thought they could. And I've also seen teams go in when times are hard, you know, something like COVID comes along, and how they've been able to add value during those tough times, either to be just, you know, an encouragement, or whether it be strategic, you know, things, new things to consider, or an advisory capacity. So I have actually, not only being an investor with the funds, I've had a few opportunities to actually invest, you know, side by side with some of the private equity firms and actually take board seats. And that has been extremely rewarding for me to see how other people operate, to be able to use some of the things that I've learned over, you know, many years of being in business to help other, perhaps younger leaders, you know, come along or help them avoid perhaps pitfalls or mistakes that they might otherwise have made. And so I've really enjoyed it.
And talk for a moment about being a board member. What advice do you have for somebody to be a good board member?
So I don't know that my advice is the great one for everybody, but when, as a board member, even now in my own companies, I try to be a really good listener. My experience over many years with having many board members is that, you know, some board members like to attend meetings and make it clear that they have a lot of knowledge and experience and constantly want to put that out in front. And my approach to being a board member is to listen very carefully, try to select impact points where what knowledge I have can be put on the table and be impactful, but sort of sit in a little bit toward the background, not be particularly vocal except when it's necessary, and pick my points very carefully where I want to make a contribution, and then do it respectfully. I respect that the management is the management, and they have the right to be leaders, and the board is there to play an advisory role. And so I try to respect that and yet, you know, again, pick my spots carefully in terms of how I interact with the rest of the board.
Well, thank you, Barry. You've had a remarkable career with private equity, with leadership, and we are just thrilled to have a chance to visit with you today on the Scott Becker Private Equity Podcast. You're truly a remarkable leader. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate the time.